Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, hello everybody. Hello, good evening. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to GoPro Radio Networks. And that's where we are. And this is the Kay Thompson Live Show. And the reason being, of course, because, you know, my partner, Gus Honeywork, he passed away. And we were the Kay Thompson, the Kay and Gus Show, rather, but right now it's going to be Kay Thompson Live. Miss him terribly. However, we will continue, and he's here in spirit. Okay, we are the News, Information, Education, and Global Communications Network Station of the Nation, by the way. And how do we do this, by the way? We have and do constant research, and we constantly confirm our information with our global communications recipients and constituents. And we have contact news sources, and they are constant. So we invite you from wherever you are, you know, to let us know where you are and what you're doing. Remember, we care on the air about you, yours and mine, and we thank you for listening. Always, just consider us your show to listen in and to talk. Let me tell you what's on tap for tonight. Really, really very interesting. We are going to be doing, or we are doing, a part two with Sophia Stewart. And I'm quite sure you might remember this story. This is the lady who is suing about her copyright infringement about Matrix and Terminator. So we're going to be doing a part two with Sophia Stewart a little later on in the show. At the top of the show, we're going to be talking to, who's going to be calling in, Dr. Clem Price, and he's going to be telling us about the memorial for Gus. And it's in Newark, and he's going to be telling you all about that. We're going to talk to him for a short period of time. After him, we go to Sophia, and then we talk to a young lady whose name is Shawnese Hill. She is a costumer, and she is on right now, but we're going to have to go back to her because of the fact that we might have... Dr. Price on right now. Are we checking? You know? Is Dr. Price on? We are on.
I'm on. Kay, can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Can you speak up a little bit?
I guess I can speak louder, Kay. Hi.
Now, this
is that better?
Dr. Price, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we're going to be talking about the memorial, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us.
Can you hear me?
We're on the air.
Okay. Well, the Memorial K, as you know, will be Saturday, January the 26th, mm-hmm. At 2 p.m. at Bethany Baptist Church, the great late 19th century historic Baptist Church in Newark,
yes.
Located at 275 Market Street. Pretty much in the downtown corridor of Newark. It will start at 2 p.m., and I suspect we will be together for about a couple of hours.
Ah, okay. Now, that's Reverend Dr. Bill Howard's church, right?
Yes, that's Dr. Yeah. Howard's church, Dr. Scott's church. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a great number of clergymen associated with that church, and clergy women associated with that church.
Mm-hmm. You know, Clem, you know, that he and his wife, they're pretty special people to
yes.
Gus and to me because of the fact that as soon as Gus became ill and he was over at the South Mountain Rehab Center, and I asked Reverend Dr. Howard, if he would, you know, have his people come over, you know, and to say prayers and that kind of thing. And I have to say, I've never been prayed over so many times in my life. But it was always there. They weren't only there just like once or twice a week. But, you know,
right.
They came more often than that. And I thought it was really, really so great. And
indeed.
I can't thank them enough. And I will be thanking them on the, when is the date of the memorial again?
The date again is Saturday, January the 26th
Saturday.
Of this year at 2 p.m. at Bethany Baptist Church in Newark.
Okay. And we're going to be talking about that again, you know, probably next week and the week after.
Yeah.
On, you know, and of course
sure.
You can call from anywhere in the world, Dr. Price.
Okay.
One other thing.
Go.
How's the fellowship going? What's it doing these days?
Well, the fellowship named after Gus. We are trying to mount the fourth class of Gus Henningberg Fellows.
Yeah.
At Rutgers in Newark in the fall of 2013.
Wow. Okay. All right. So you're going to be on to tell us about that.
Yes.
And all the other good things that you're involved in.
And one thing that you would want me to underscore, Kay, certainly Gus would want me to underscore it, is the 33rd anniversary of the Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series.
Wow, yes. 30.
Can you believe that? And the theme this year, most appropriately, is an observance of the Great Emancipation.
Oh.
This is the 150th anniversary of the Great Emancipation today. Indeed.
Well, a lot of people don't know about that. But, Clem, you certainly know about that. It's educational, it's informational. What is it now? There's about 7 or 8 colleges downtown Newark, right?
Yeah, more college and university students in Newark than in Princeton and New Brunswick.
That's so exciting. That is so exciting. But listen, thank you, Dr. Clem Price, and I
will
see you another time.
I'll call in next week. Okay, thanks, Kay.
Okay, great. Thanks, Clem.
Bye.
Okay. And we are back, and we are, talking. Well, now, let's see. We have next coming up. Oh, I have to tell you this. I don't know if a lot of you remember this singer. But I was talking to him, and we were with this singer and his wife at my house today and yesterday. His name is Christopher Williams, everyone. Christopher Williams is putting out a new song. And I think I may be the first one to mention it, you know. And the song is called Off the Record. And it is the 2013 version of Marvin Gaye's I Want You album, okay? And it's very exciting, and Christopher is back again. Not that he's gone anywhere. You know, I'm just the one who's been behind, you know, and I was very glad to see him and his stunning wife, Natalie. But we are going to be talking to him on the 16th of January. Yes, Christopher Williams is coming here to GoPro Radio Networks, and he's going to be talking about his new song and what's going on with him. So. The producers is Black Shear Entertainment, that's Paris Davis's agency, and they produce Brandy and Monica, This Boy Is Mine, and the project Glue Theory, if you remember. So, you know, we're getting a little bit into music. All right, we're going to be talking, too, to Sophie Stewart for part two, and want to know if she is on the line. That would be that 7 area code. No, not yet. Do we have a caller on the line? I'm sorry? Oh, Shawnice. Yes, let's talk to Shawnice. Yes. Shawnice.
Yes, yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good.
Happy New Year.
And the same to you. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know.
I've been hearing about all the good things that you've been doing.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah, lots of people are listening. And now you are a costumer, right? For TV.
I'm a stylist, a designer, and a costumer.
A stylist, a designer, and a costumer, and you worked in film, television.
Film, television, theater, and personal clients.
And personal clients. Wow, very exciting. Now, tell us, what does a costumer do? You just told me.
A costumer does quite a few things in the television industry and in the film industry. We're responsible for continuity of all wardrobe in feature productions. Also, as a costumer, depending on who your clients are, you're also responsible either for a specific character in that production or the entire cast of the production.
I see.
So it's quite a responsibility.
Wow. Now, how does one go about doing that? Have you always been a designer or what?
No, I actually started as a stylist, and that led into my becoming a costumer. It was kind of a natural progression of sorts, and also have someone else pick up that tab.
Me, yeah. No, those unions are excellent in the entertainment industry. There's no doubt about them, really. I love them. But listen,
and then it's great because being affiliated with the union as well, it opens up the pool of work, whereas when you're non-union, there are projects that you cannot work on. So there's a huge advantage to being affiliated with a union.
I see. Now, what are some of the shows that you've worked on?
That would be interesting, though.
Okay.
And it's a pretty cool project. It's episodic television.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Bruckheimer is like the god of TV.
Yeah.
And this is his latest project. It's executive produced by Sasha Penn and directed by Mark Pellington. And the one of the lead actresses in the show is Nicole Irie Parker, very, very, very talented, from Soul Food and also from Streetcar Named Desire on Broadway.
Uh-huh. Name a couple of other films and, you know, Broadway productions you've done.
Oh, wow. I've done Brooklyn Finest with Antoine Fuqua. I've done a show on Nickelodeon television called Clash of the Choirs. I've done another show called... Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So I keep going out. I did Naked Brothers Band, Law and Order SVU, Law and Order Criminal Intent, Boardwalk Empire. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, yeah. So you're an established person in this. And the reason why I'm asking and wanted to talk to you was not only because of the fact that I wanted people to know about these other careers, you know, in the entertainment industry, but because we're also talking to, and I've been talking to her, Sophia Stewart, and I know you know that story.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
So we're waiting for her to in now, and I'm probably going to have to make a call to her because of the fact that, you know, she is scheduled, and we want to hear part two.
And I was on contract, and the producers actually tried to break my contract, and so that ended up in litigation. So I completely understand what she's going through. There is definitely a barrier on in entertainment that oftentimes we have to shatter.
Uh-huh. Why was your contracting question then?
Well, there were quite a few things. Legally, I can't discuss it. I'm under a gag order.
Uh-huh.
But suffice it to say that I was the only person of color on Broadway with a contract, and setting up a show, it's very, very difficult. So from the onset of what we call pre-production or tech through the running of the show and opening night, I'm responsible for that.
Yeah.
And basically after the show is set up, then they can bring someone else in to take over your show or your track.
Uh-huh.
And I was under contract, so they were not permitted to do that, but did try.
Wow.
Unfortunately, they did not succeed.
Yeah. Now, did that happen to do anything to your career at that particular time, or what?
Not really, because, again, I vacillate between Broadway, television, and film, and personal clients. It didn't really affect me. I just left Broadway from that show, and I moved right into another project.
I see. So
and
you're
at that time, I think, I'm sorry?
You're in demand, in other words.
The pool is kind of small for our field, so when productions do come into the tri-state area, there are like select names that are called, and thank God I'm one of those names. I feel very blessed about that.
Yeah, you're right.
yeah. It's something. So, it's been my goal to bring more young women into the field, especially women of color, because it's a great field to enter into, and it just requires someone bringing.
They should have.
What they should have is one of the things that's extremely important is to have a keen knowledge of fit. And style, and knowing how to do alterations. And again, you don't have to be a tailor, but when you're dealing in live production, there are things that can happen in real time during a production that you need to know how to fix very quickly having a tailor. Yeah, so having those types of skill sets are really, really important. You also have to be extremely organized, and you have to have an extensive list of resources in terms of wardrobe and costumes. So if you need to obtain an article, you need to know where to get it from and where to get it from quickly.
Yeah, I see. So you have to have all those contacts ready at your fingertips to do this and to do that.
Someone
who is a designer, you know, and who designs clothes anyway could also, you know, be involved with Broadway, film production, et cetera, am I right? Movies?
Yes, that is correct. And that's something that I was going to mention. It's kind of intriguing because about 10 years ago, a lot of productions did not use quote-unquote stylists. In television production and film, there's a category of costume design, which I work under. However, since the advent of a lot of highly stylized shows like Sex and the City and my good friend Pat Fields, ever since the success of that show, they've been hiring tons of stylists, which is before starting a project, if it's a theatrical project, you'll receive a script from the director and we'll sit down and go over what the characters are. The same as a film or television show, you'll receive a script, and as a designer, you go through the script and you break down each character, and then there's a meeting that takes place between the director and the actors and the line producer, and creatively, we all come up with how we think that that character should be perceived on film or on TV.
You know why I'm asking you? Because of the fact that, as you know, with Sophia Stewart, now, she wrote, she was the product of copyright infringement, as you know.
Yes.
Her product was Matrix, and Terminator came out of that. I mean, that was when she is Matrix 4. I was looking at Matrix the other day. I said, how in the world did she think of all this? And I was having this conversation with her. And I don't know whether she forgot the time or what, but I'm going to, when we go for a break very shortly, I'm going to call her and I'm going to ask her these things, because I want to know, you know, how she came up with, you know, so much of this. You know, for instance, the digital downloading, the costumes, all these things that she was drawing herself.
Yeah.
You know, it's
just
who invent things. But why people don't, treat her seriously, you know, that's what...
Yeah.
Get, because she has sued about copyright infringement, it's about somebody, you know, stealing her work, but yet she has won every single case. You know, it's like people are doubting.
And then it's really up to the individual. A lot of times, especially networks or independent producers, they will rely on that person not having the resources to actually go after and litigate for their rights.
Okay, listen, we have to go for a break, Shanice. Can you hold on?
Sure, sure.
Okay. We'll be right back. Okay. Kay Thompson Live, everyone. We'll be right back with Shanice Hill, and we're also going to be talking again to Sophia Stewart. And so stay with us, everyone. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Sarah Flounders.
And I'm Nana Soul.
Talking about 20 years of resistance of the International Action Center.
And also a birthday party to celebrate Ramsey Clark's 85th birthday.
At Riverside Church, a dinner and evening on Saturday, January 12th.
And that's in Harlem, New York City.
Donations, tickets at iacenter.org. That's iacenter.org.
Or call 212-633-6646.
Support resistance.
And folks, you're not just contributing to a great international dinner or an even a wonderful event with friends and colleagues. You're contributing to the continuation of a people's movement for social justice and change, real change.
We can't do it without you. Every penny helps us continue.
So purchase your tickets today at www.iacenter.org.
Grassroots struggle. Resistance. Fight the power.
We are on the air. I'm Kay Thompson Live, and I'm talking to Sophia.
Hi, this is Sarah.
Yes. Okay, we are 323-679-0906. We are on right now. Can you call that number back? 323. Okay, all right. All right, talk to you later. Okay, bye-bye. And we are going to be talking to Sophia Stewart. Believe me, when I say this lady is busy, she's a case. This is a case with Sophia. She's an African-American film writer. And she had to sue people, you know, in Hollywood because there was copyright infringement of her work. And what was happening is that when she was suing, she was winning. She was absolutely winning. Now, it's essentially, you know, when she was suing, what all this does is she was essentially alleging that defendants established a pattern of racketeering through a fraudulent scheme of what they call sham and shell companies. And they were conceived to avoid individual tax liability and were so inadequately funded without We'll say that again. Without legitimate ownership to Terminator asset rights for the purpose to defraud and money launder proceeds from individuals, financial institutions, and creditors. And it goes on and on there. And what was happening was that by utilizing the bankruptcy court to illegally transfer assets and deceive the consuming public, certain defendants created the story concept in the Terminator film. And what they did was it was copyright, what they call copyright infringement. So that's what we are going to be continuing to talk to, you know, Sophia about. And the problem I have with this particular story is a lot of people don't believe it. Why not? You know, somebody invented the stories that we see. Now, Sophia has been winning in the courts. She has been winning in some of the top courts in the country. And
I got another lawsuit here in Las Vegas for triple the damages, like $320 million for false advertisement on Cloud Atlas. So right now, everything is at a standstill until I prove up the damages on the Utah court case.
Uh-huh.
The judges have already recused themselves off of the case because there were a lot of civil liberty or civil rights violations for the past 5 years. Some of the judges were in aiding and abetting and collusion and conspiracy with the defendants on my case. Department of Justice is in on it right now, and I will be talking to the division located there in Salt Lake as to what they're getting ready to do about this.
Well,
that's where we are right now.
That's where you are right now. Listen, before we do anything else about the case, how do you feel personally, you know, really deep down, about having to go through this to constantly prove your rights? To prove that you did this, that you wrote this, that you conceived this, that you are the inventor of your story. I mean, how do you feel about that? How, what does that do to you inside? I know there's a lot of questions, but I think you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, well, I'm a little disappointed that I had to stay 5 years at the lunch counter and never getting served. Everybody coming into the court in America, and everybody should be.
Mm-hmm. But
if
you
kept winning, thinking about your rights.
But you kept winning and winning. So doesn't
yes,
that
I did.
Anything?
Yes, because it was the truth. Most people don't realize that truth doesn't go away. It keeps coming back again and again. It doesn't go away, and eventually, like they say, disbelief occurs and then shut. I'm a principled person. I'm about principles, and I'm about truth. And being a principled person, you're not going to let somebody take something from you and let someone take credit for something. People stealing your identity and going out there on a rampage, say they stole your identity and they committed a lot of crimes or atrocities in your name. I mean, surely you are going to go out there and defend it. It's the same thing if someone...
Where, I mean, how did that happen?
The original idea came from my work, my source work, The Third Eye, which is on my website, truthaboutmatrix.com. The Third Eye book.
Yeah.
And a script treatment with the same name, The Third Eye.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote that work after I saw Star Wars, and Star Wars wasn't my inspiration. God was my inspiration because I recognized the spiritual content in Star Wars that Lucas was talking about the point of view of Satan. And I thought about, well, what about when Christ comes back? You know, it's spoken about in Revelation that he'll be back. And what happens when he comes back in the future?
Yeah.
What technology is going to be ruling the machine? We're going to have clones, microchips, digital downloading, you know, metamorphosing, you know, transforming, all of these things.
Yeah.
That it has to do with mentoring and skills and being disciplined.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. I don't know if Sharonice is still on. Sharonice, Can you tell me, is Shoni Sue still on? You know, because we...
Yeah, I'm still here, Kay.
Yes, now you hear Ms. Stewart on, you know. Do you have anything to add to this?
Yeah, you know, it's just, unfortunately, one of the stories in Hollywood that happens often, and it's a blessing that she was able to actually seek a remedy and receive a remedy to protect her creativity. There are a lot of people that have fallen prey to this type of theft, and oftentimes nothing happens. So I feel extremely, my heart is just lifted that she's going to see some justice.
So what do you think about that? Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say that I
had any proof as the plaintiff that you're required to have. You know, just as you asked, how do you prove that you did this? Pertinent question. Then in addition to that, if you can prove that, yes, this is my work, this is what I created, this is what's due me, you didn't have to have the resources financially to proceed with it and to see it through its fruition. Very, very difficult process.
Yeah, but mine wasn't very difficult at all. This is the whole kicker. I was a person who did everything right. And I mean everything right. I went to film school, paid $35,000 to go to the top university, got a degree in journalism, worked in the field and at Channel 13, New York City, Columbia Pictures, a national magazine out of New York, paid my dues, wrote the work, copyrighted it, I had copyrights, and shopped it, and it was stolen from me, and the FBI came in and validated the theft.
I want you to hold right there. We're being joined by Eric Tankornian from California. Eric is, the producer of the political roundtable, of my political roundtable. Eric, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, I'm just listening to the discussion because I had many of the same questions. But go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Sophia.
Oh, no, Eric, I was saying I did everything right. I have a legal background. I worked for a law firm in Beverly Hills. So I did everything right with the copyright. I one of the brothers and tried to settle out with me and the Wachowskis. I turned down, you know, because it was billions of dollars at stake, and I wasn't going to give my copyright just $5 or $7 million.
Right.
You know, I was doing accounting and taxes when I was 11 years old, and payroll when I was a teenager. So, and they made billions of dollars. They found out about the Terminator theft, that it was also from my book and my script treatment. And then somebody got bought out at the U.S. Attorney's Office. And somebody's been getting bought out for a long time. It might be anywhere this work has accumulated here in America, internationally, I got to say. Anywhere from $35 to $100 billion probably at stake here.
Wow.
And a lot of people got bought off along the way. But the truth and the copyrights and the trademarks belong to me. And these people can't get them no matter how hard they try. They are used to buying publishing rights or stealing publishing rights and doing what they want. But this is one time they got defeated because I own the copyrights and the trademarks to the Matrix and the Terminator franchises. And you better believe it. That's why you don't see any more Matrix. You don't see any more Terminator movies. And you're not going to see any jail on this one. We have a new day, a new sheriff in town, Obama. You know, he's new for this year. And there are a lot of trading places going on. People in high places. And some people are going out. Some people are coming in. And when things start to change, that's when things start to catch up with people. Like when they, when the KKK, Ku Klux Klan, bombed the little girls in the church back in the 60s. And it took years before some of those people were prosecuted. But they went to prison at 65 years old. Some of them died from cancer, got divine justice. Some of them were killed in car wrecks. But a majority of them went to prison in an old age. So that just goes to show you that justice does catch up with people, even divine justice.
Okay. Any more comments? Eric?
And it's real clear that they have to pay you for your work.
Yes.
One of the questions that I've had in hearing about your story is that, you know, where have you been moving you when the film came out? You know, like, I was talking about this to my sister the other day, you know, I was saying, it is possible, you know, a film that was advocate, people could say, you know, well, you know, the Terminator movies and the Matrix movies, particularly the Terminator movies, have been out for 20 some odd years. So I guess they could say, well, how come you didn't recognize your work, or would you have recognized your work? And your response to them was well when you asked those questions.
Pregnant with a baby, having a baby back then, and married, I didn't even go to the movies like most people. And so I never saw the movie, which the FBI backed and validated that. They told the Judge Morrow, that they stole the Terminator from me. Seeing that was right, I contacted the U.S. Attorney's Office, apprised them that I was the writer of the Matrix, and apprised them of the theft. They were law enforcement for white-collar crime. They put everything in motion. I went to, they told me to go to the FBI to investigate it, and the FBI would turn over the evidence to the U.S. Attorney's Office, and they would prosecute. They said they're the ones who dropped the ball. I did not drop the ball. I did everything humanly possible to bring these people to justice. I've been betrayed by lawyers, judges, law enforcement, U.S. Attorney's Office, but the truth still will not go away. And the fact that they don't own anything is what's hurting them, because they don't own the publishing rights. As you know, they kill people over publishing rights, but they can't kill me because they don't own anything.
Yeah.
They got the money, but that can be rectified. That can be rectified with their houses, their cars, their offshore accounts, and everything. In fact, the FBI know where all of their offshore accounts are, and, you know, so forth. So all that can be rectified, the money. The atrocities are horrible. What they did to me is horrible.
Sophia, hold on a minute. Lisa's on the phone. Lisa
Hi,
Payne.
Sophia. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing, Lisa, sweetie? How are you doing?
Good. You know, I was reading, of course, you know, your paper, your legal documents, which you have everything on the website, which anybody should go to Sophia's website, because that way you can see all of the evidence. And it's so clear and so easy because it's written out, spelled out. It's like a novel when I read your legal papers. And so, and I was like, how can they say that they wrote this movie when you have everything? First of all, if you didn't write it, why would you get awarded the copyright?
Exactly.
What would you give? No court is going to award you copyright if it's not yours. So for the person that I read something on Shadow and Act, I really want to call them out, because it's a really good website. But they had this posting that the guy said, oh, you didn't do it. But he didn't read any of your legal documents. So I'm like, make sure that you're educated before you start speaking out.
Absolutely.
About something that you don't know what you're talking
Absolutely.
About. You know, like, and I also saw, in, and I want you to address this, one part in your in the legal papers when you said that one person called, a lawyer, Ludlow, the attorney, his wife called.
There's some sort of, you know, static on the line, like their children talking or something. So, you know, and we are on the internet, so these things do happen. But we will be right back. We're going to be talking to Sophia Stewart. We're going to be talking to Shawnice Hill. We're talking to Eric Payne, calling in. He's the producer of the Political Roundtable, and to Lisa Payne. Stay with us, everyone. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Sarah Flounders.
And I'm Nana Soul.
Talking about 20 years of resistance of the International Action Center.
And also a birthday party to celebrate Ramsey Clark's 85th birthday.
At Riverside Church, a dinner and evening on Saturday, January 12th.
And that's in Harlem's New York City.
Donations, tickets at iacenter.org. That's iacenter.org.
Or call 212-633-6646.
Support resistance.
And folks, you're not just contributing to a great international dinner or an even a wonderful event with friends and colleagues. You're contributing to the continuation of a people's movement for social justice and change, real change.
We can't do it without you. Every penny helps us continue.
So purchase your tickets today at www.iacenter.org.
Grassroots struggle. Resistance. Fight the power.
Johnson Log here, everyone, with Lisa Payne, with Eric Payne, with Sophia Stewart, with Shawnee Hill, and those of you who want to call, and you still have time to call in. That number to talk to Sophia Stewart, Shawnee, Eric, or Lisa. We lost Eric. Okay, we'll get him back later. 323-679-0906. 323-679-0906. I'm Kay Thompson. This is Kay Thompson Live. We have about 7 more minutes. Okay, Sophia, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry about the noise, but yes, I am.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm right here, and I hope Eric will call back in. I enjoy, if he got more questions, I would love to answer his questions in detail. But I think everybody needs to know about this and the atrocities that are in our legal systems, you know, judicial misconduct from judges and lawyers. These are the people that we depend on to give us justice, you know, to come in and do righteousness. And they are the ones that are part of the graft and the crime.
Yep. Like Sunny Sutherland.
You can't trust them. You can't trust them.
Yeah, like what, Lisa?
Like Sunny Sutherland.
Speak of the mic.
Like Sunny Sutherland, that's here at the Black Lives Matter show.
Right? Yes, he does.
And he was talking about what happened to him in court dealing
that's
with
right.
his children.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't trust the judges and the lawyers. You know, the judges are easily bribed and bought out. And like God says in Proverbs, a judge that is bribed, you get no justice. When a king or a judge is bribed, you will get no justice there. And
yeah.
It's just, everybody needs to really be apprised of this, because this can happen to anybody, and it does happen often to a lot of people, and people don't even understand the whole aspect of evil. If evil comes for you and you don't do anything about it to help others, then when evil comes to get you, then there's not going to be anybody to help you. Is taking everybody over, and that's what evil does. It just takes
people about what I talked about earlier, though, before we go on, Sophia, and before we go on, Shawnee's. Christopher Williams, you know, has a new record out, and we want to let people know about his new song. The name of it is Off the Record, and he says that it is a 2013 version of Marvin Gaye's I Want You album. You know, I'm really very excited about that. So, and Christopher says that he is going to be here in studio on the 16th. This is what Natalie said, his beautiful wife, Natalie. And on the 16th of December, of the 16th of January, he's going to be in town. Going to make it his business to get over here to Black Wax Stripe Studios, GoPro Radio Network. So we're very glad to, you know, hear about that. Also, the producer is the Black Shear Entertainment. That's Paris Davidson's agency. They produced Brandy and Monica, This Boy Is Mine, and the project Groove Theory, right, Lisa?
Yeah, yep, Groove Theory.
Yeah. So anything else we should know, Sophia, before we close out, and because we're going to be talking to you again and again, we still want to, you know, get a lot more information, and we want to keep up with this story. We want to know what's going on, what's going to be going on, and how many people are going to be picking this up. We've heard some negative stuff. You know, so we want people to call in because they can get an opportunity to talk directly to Sophia Stewart. You hear her story. You can go on her website. Let me give a few places where you can go to hear this. I have these notes right in front of me. If not, I'm truthaboutmatrix.com. Now, that's your website, isn't it?
That's correct. That's my website, truthaboutmatrix.com.
Truthaboutmatrix.com. Okay. Now, also, they can go to Amazon.com or Matrix 4. Is that true?
It's a Matrix 4 book on Amazon.com. Anybody who's waiting for the movie, will enjoy the book. Matrix War Book is at Amazon.com, and you can also buy the Third Eye on my website, truthaboutmatrix.com, and it has all the validations from the FBI and the validations of the theft and the people accepting the work in their own letters and their own words, the transcript where they admit to stealing Terminator. It's quite a read.
Yeah.
Very fascinating.
We have it here. We're going to be giving that out again also. Now, we're at the end of this show. But I'm telling you, every time I talk to you, it's even more full fascinating than the night before. So we've done now part one and part two. So we will be talking to you again. We have 1 minute of the show. Sophia, thank you for calling. We'll talk to you a little later on.
Oh, I've loved it. Thank you for having me, and I'll be back, everyone.
Okay. We'll talk to you later on.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. Is Shonice still on? If Shonice is still on, thank you, Shonice. It's very interesting. And did you hear Shonice telling you about costuming and being a costumer in film and television? That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fascinating.
Well, I met Shonice on Boomerang.
I know you did, yeah, because people don't know that you worked on Boomerang with Eddie Murphy and with, Red Fox and whatnot. In fact, you were on set, unfortunately, when he, came.
Yeah, he was on his royal family. But
yeah.
Shonice, yes, she does a lot. Richard Gere, she does a lot of, a lot of wardrobe.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa, I'm back.
Oh,
I was disconnected. Sorry.
All right. Well, talking about you, how good you are in your field, the top of your field.
I'm getting
thank you